Good morning.
Good morning.
Awesome. Thank you for that feedback. That's awesome. Hey, I know some of you guys because I work in Highway 34, and some of you guys have been student leaders or are student leaders in there. Some of you have moved on to 56, which that makes me really sad when you guys move on. But I am so thankful and appreciative of you guys. So I'm Wendy Hall, and this is my husband, Brandon. And we have two boys. One's in junior high, and one is in this room somewhere. I won't point him out. But and we live in Springdale. So it is quite possible that some of you guys were probably even in Highway 34 when you were in third and fourth grade, because I've been there for 9 years, which is a long time. But you've changed. I haven't. So I'm just saying. Yeah. Anyways, this morning,
well,
we actually
met here 21 years ago, serving in youth ministry. Wendy was like one of the youth staff here. So she was like a Tori or an Amy or who am I missing? Abby. Yes, thank you. So yeah. She was like one of them, and I was like one of the cell leaders. I was like Ryan. Or
my territory was Springdale. No, Springdale.
I was Springdale.
You were Springdale. I was Bentonville Rogers, so Springdale.
Yeah.
And that's funny. Now I live in Springdale.
I was like a cell leader like Ryan or Blake or Taylor for Bentonville. And so I met Wendy while I was helping out here. So, guys, you can date youth staff. All right? So, Ryan, you know, Tori, Amy.
Not students.
Abby.
He's
Anna.
Talking about cell leaders.
I think
leaders.
They're all single. So, yeah, it is very possible to date a cell leader. Or a youth staff. Now, I think all the guy staff.
As a cell leader.
As a cell leader.
Let me
not
clarify
as a student.
What he's saying.
Yeah.
All right.
So, it can happen.
So
Tori and they're all single.
Two cell leaders. I'm just going to just reaffirm that. Two cell leaders. Okay. Hey, so this morning, we actually wanted to talk to you about peace, because that is our candle that we talked about today is peace.
Right. So, before we dig in, before we get into scripture and all that, we wanted to try to define what peace is, all right? So we're not talking about war peace, all right? We're talking about just peace within you, peace in your behavior, how you feel. So we're going to focus on that and the way the world views, like, inner peace and the way the Bible tries to portray peace. So when you look it up in the Oxford Dictionary, peace is defined as freedom from disturbance. It's tranquility. Everything is great, or as some of you guys say, Gucci. First time I heard that, I had no idea what that meant. But in that definition, that's probably not even a cool phrase anymore, Gucci. Reed's totally shaking his head at me right now. Anyway, so in that definition, circumstances determine peace. So when you think of peace, like the first thing that might come to your mind is like a sleeping baby. Like when I look at a baby and I go, man, I wish I could have that much peace in my life. And they could care less about anything. And Wendy's favorite spot on the world is just on the beach. And so the world would say, that's peace to me. That's a peaceful place. But circumstances determine that that's peace. If a tidal wave came or a big storm or a loud noise started clanging, neither one of those environments would be peaceful anymore. And so Wendy and I, we tried to find a definition of what biblical peace is, and it's like pages and pages of explanation of what that looks like. So we came up with our own definition, the Wendy and Brandon definition, and what we came up with is that, and this is kind of what Abby was hitting on during the lighting of the candle, it's that true peace only comes from God. We can't comprehend it. It's not explainable, okay? It's a gift from the Prince of Peace. It does not mean that there is no sickness. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be any pain or suffering or death or trials. It means that you are calm and trusting on the inside and the outside despite what's going on. So just think of like Jesus in the boat, you know, when the storm was going on, he was sleeping. That's what we're talking about, that kind of peace.
Okay, so this is the ultimate, I think, Christmas card verse. How many of you guys, your families, like, sent out a Christmas card or are going to send out a Christmas card? 50% of you, I bet, could say that that is the verse that your parents chose to go on their card, because that is what is true with the cards that have come to our house. This is the verse. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so that's what we're talking about today, is peace and how he is the Prince of Peace. And I feel like, you know, what we've kind of been talking about is life isn't always peaceful. But as a child of God, as a daughter of the King, I have peace because he's given it to us. That is mine, regardless of my situations or my circumstances. And so Brandon and I, we will get to celebrate 18 years of marriage in about a week, which is pretty awesome. And
started here.
So for us, we've definitely had some circumstances that have been hard and that have definitely tried to rock our peace. And as I was just kind of praying for this service and praying to get to share, God, what do you have to share? There was a podcast I got to listen to recently, and I want to share with you guys her statement that she made. She was talking about, I placed what I know about God above what I don't know about the future or what I don't understand about my circumstances. And so you guys are in a season where you don't know necessarily what your future is like. Do you guys know for sure where you're going to college? Some of you probably do. Other people in here, raise your hand if you do not know where you're going to college. Yeah, you don't know what the future looks like. But I hope, I pray that you know God as your wonderful counselor, as your mighty God, as your everlasting Father, and as your Prince of Peace. So I'm going to let Brandon share with you some of our hardships that have challenged our peace.
Mm-hmm. So some of the adults have heard our story a lot. I don't know how much the students have, but about 11 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer. I was sitting at work one day. I was in a forecasting meeting, and I had been to the doctor a few days before to get a cyst removed. And so I get this phone call at work, and I hadn't even been worried about it or thinking about it. And all of a sudden, he goes, hey, I got some bad news for you. He goes, you have cancer. And I was like, oh, okay. And I'm just thinking, it's not a big deal. Like, it's some little cyst. He goes, no, you have cancer, and it's probably in a lot of other places. You have lymphoma. And I said, well, what does that mean? He goes, you need to go see an oncologist. You're probably going to have to do chemo. And he goes, I can't really tell you anything else. You need to go get a scan. And so that just rocked my world. And I thought I had a solid faith and that if something like this came along, that it wouldn't scare me. But it terrified me. At the time, Reed was 6, and our youngest, Dossett, who goes to Central, he was almost 4. And so that picture was right around that same time, the one on the left. And that was after my hair had started falling out due to chemo, not because I'm getting old. But anyway, so that was that day I just finally gave up and shaved my head. And we took a picture right there. And so what happened, though, was when I found out I had cancer and it was stage 4 cancer, I was, like, paralyzed with fear. I wasn't physically paralyzed, but people that wanted to talk to me or hang out, I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to go to work. I didn't want to eat. I was just a basket case. I was just, like, terrified. And what I was fearful of is those two boys right there growing up without a dad and how that would affect their life. I was worried about Wendy having to raise two boys without a dad. And so I was just really weak in my faith. I wasn't mad at God. I wasn't like, how could you do this to me? How could you let this happen to me? It was like, please, God, don't let me die. It was like, give me some peace. I had no peace at all. Just hold me close. It was just all kinds of prayers and scripture quoting. And I'll get into how I got through it, because obviously I'm healed from cancer. And, God's been good that way. And but it took a while for me to find that peace through that journey. And Wendy, on the other hand, was like a rock. She was like, God's got it. We're going to be fine. And I'm just like, I don't know if I believe that. I'm scared half to death. What if God's will is that I do die? I didn't trust that God could be a better father to my sons than I am. I didn't trust that God could give Wendy the energy and the ability to be able to raise these boys without me, and everything was going to be fine. So I really wrestled with that. From that same lady that Wendy just read that quote from, this podcast she listened to, this lady said, living at peace doesn't mean we don't experience the emotions of fear and anxiety. It means we move and act in spite of it and believe that God is greater. So it's okay to feel some anxiety. Every time I had a scan to see if the cancer was getting worse or if it was getting better, we were nervous. I mean, we were like, oh, okay, here we go. We're going to find out. Here comes the doctor. So we were nervous and anxiety, but we learned, well, she already was there. I learned how to handle it better and trust, and that anxiety was very small in my life all of a sudden. But it took a lot of prayer, scripture quoting, just obedience in my walk with Christ. And we'll get into what that looks like. But one of the verses I really leaned on through this is a set of verses that you guys probably know pretty well and have heard at least pieces of it over time. And I just want to read this with you. And it's something at night, when I couldn't sleep during cancer, I would quote scripture like this one a lot. Because all my friends would be like, hey, don't be anxious. That's what the Bible says. I'm like, well, that's a lot easier said than done. I mean, I'm terrified. So how do I not be terrified? Well, I think these verses start to lay the groundwork of how you can have peace. Paul starts out, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. So like give thanks in all circumstances. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. So God, thank you for this trial that I'm facing. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. This is that peace that no one can explain. This is no matter what's going on, you feel peace. The peace that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And so I just want to highlight a few words that stand out to it and just share a little goofy, really goofy acronym I came up with. TNRPLATE is what I call it. So it helps me remember the last verse. So whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, think about those things. So that's a filter for our lives. And you've got all these instructions here saying, rejoice, give thanks, do not be anxious, present your request to God, and then you will have peace. And if that's not enough, TNRPLATE, okay? So, did you want to add anything to that? Before I go into that.
I just think he says I was a rock, but that's not necessarily true because even when you know truth and you're standing on what is true, we're human, so we're going to feel anxious and we're going to feel like we're spinning because we're human. And I can remember just being kind of frazzled because if you can imagine, I mean, there's a lot of weight, 240 pounds on me that I was carrying. So I felt because I was just feeding my mind on what was true. And I was trying to do that for my family and for Brandon and for the boys. But even in the midst of that, I was doing silly, dumb things, like leaving my keys in the front door and couldn't find my keys. Like, where are my keys? Where are my keys? And it's late at night. And then the next morning, I'm like, oh, yeah, there's my keys right there in the front door for anybody to come on in.
Where's my phone?
But, I mean, that's just when you're in a time where, you know, your life is spinning, and it just feels really out of control. And the enemy, he is out to steal, kill, and destroy us. And so he knows how to get to us. But if our mind, if we can, like Brandon's saying, follow kind of a little bit this.
That one.
Oh, you're. I liked your little image that you did.
Okay, I haven't talked about it yet. But.
Oh, well, you.
Yeah. Okay, so we kind of came up with this. And it's not theologically sound. It's not like approved, whatever, but as we look through this, and I take those verses we just talked about and several other verses in the Bible, we kind of came up and just try to create a visual of how do you find peace in your life. And so, just looking at Philippians 4 and other verses, you know, we're continually told to rejoice, to give thanks in all circumstances. And if we always do that, and if we're pray continually is another verse that we're continually reminded of, we're told to have faith. We're told to guard our hearts and that God will help us guard our hearts. We're told to obey. We're told to confess. We're told to follow God in whichever way he's leading us. And then if we're doing these things, Scripture says you will have peace. Always. And you're going to mess up. on these areas. You're going to sin every day, but grace just abounds in all of it. No matter what, God can help you overcome anything. So just because you are like, I don't have peace in my life, I must be this one thing, and if I don't get perfect, then I'll have peace. Well, no, you need to be aspiring to follow and obey God. But as long as you're really sincerely in a relationship with Christ and following Him, you're going to have this biblical perspective of what peace is. And if you're doing these things consistently. And so we tried to just give you a visual of what that would look like in your life.
So, like I said, we have an enemy who's out to steal, kill, and destroy. And so we all have these buttons that try to disturb our peace and take our peace. And your button might be like the ACT. You have to take the ACT test next weekend. And maybe that's like kind of causing you to have some unrest, and it's like you're panicking and you're starting to spiral because your button's been pushed. Like if you don't get a good enough grade, then what? Then what? And maybe yours is friendships. And, you know, God is really trying to refine some friendships, but the enemy is making you consumed by friendships that you don't have, or you wish that were better, or hurting, or maybe, I mean, social media. That is something that if, I mean, I can fall into that black hole. It's what I like to call it. Social media is like this black hole, and sometimes I'm like, oh my goodness, how I've been in this hole for like an hour. What in the world? So I'm just saying, sometimes those things can disrupt our peace because we see things that
cause envy or jealousy. You're left out of this.
Right,
Man, they do a lot of stuff and have a lot of nice things. How come I don't do it?
Right. Maybe your button is your health. Like for Brandon, when Brandon's health got rocked, his button was pushed and he was like, okay, I don't have peace. I don't have rest.
I had to go to counseling. I was so terrified.
For me, I knew, like, I just, God, you're sovereign and you are good and you are for me and you are in control and I can trust you. And, but I'm just saying, I have a button and my button's been pushed. And so my peace has been challenged. It's been rocked because, like I said, we have an enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But what I have to do is go back to that model that Brandon was saying is like one of my responsibilities is to remember, like I got to turn my eyes back on the Lord to remember that He is the wonderful counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the Prince of Peace. Those things are true and they don't change. Whether my circumstances have changed and whether I find out, oh my goodness, I'm going to have surgery on my heart. Okay, now I'm really scared and now my button's really been pushed. But I got to go back and remember who is God. Mm-hmm. And who God says I am, and then my peace comes, and then I'm like, okay, nothing has changed. Like, you're still the same God, and you're my Father, you're my Maker. My circumstances have changed, but you haven't changed. And so Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And I just want to encourage you guys, and I want to challenge you guys, guard your hearts. Like, what are you doing? What are you putting before your eyes? Mm-hmm. Like, is it things that is spurring you to the Lord, or is it things that is causing you to whirl more in this world, to be fearful? Because when you think, what does my future hold? What school am I going to go to? That can be paralyzing, and that can cause you to be like,
or if you don't get into the school.
Yeah, what if I don't make it into the school I want to get into? What if I don't get the grade that I'm, the score I'm supposed to get the scholarships? Then what? And then we have unrest. But then if we go, okay, God, I trust you. You are for me. You are good. You are my Maker, and you know all things, and you hold the future, and you are the Prince of Peace, and you have given me that gift of peace. And so, God, I need you to remind me what is true. So if you don't have peace right now, I encourage you, go talk to somebody and help and say, help me. I'm struggling with peace. I need you to help me see, is there a lie maybe that I'm believing that I'm not aware of? And help me, point me to what is true.
Yep. So for me, when I was going through that cancer battle, I went through that. I would pray every night, all the time, really. I'd listen to worship music a lot. I would quote scripture. I met with men that had battled cancer and had victory over it. And so I was doing all this stuff, started seeing a counselor. And eventually I just kept going through this routine, that cycle that we had up there, and peace started coming into my life within weeks. It didn't happen immediately, but I got to see God answer prayers in different ways than I expected, but he still answered them. He was there. And so I just want to reassure you, if you're not feeling peace in your life right now, to keep pressing on, keep pressing forward, keep praying, keep studying the word, keep having faith in him, obeying him, confessing when you aren't obeying him, and it'll come. The Bible promises that peace will come. It doesn't promise that bad things won't happen, because they will.
Right. And the truth is, John 14, 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So take joy, take peace in the Prince of Peace.
Let's pray. God, thank you for all these students that are in here, these young men and women. God, they are facing trials. I mean, their parents may be going through a divorce or have, or there may be an illness or sickness in their family that's really causing fear and anxiety and worry. And God, there may be people in here that don't know you as their Savior, and they don't have any peace at all. So, God, I pray that if they don't know you as their Savior, that they would, that you would reveal yourself to them, make yourself known, that you would soften their hearts, and that they would receive you as their Lord and Savior and follow you and begin that relationship with you. And I pray that for that person that may be just battling something right now, whether it's sin, whether it's like we were talking about a minute ago, just something going on in their family or their friendships or a relationship they're in, God, that they would turn that over to you and continue to go to you, and that you would provide them that peace that they so desperately want and need. God, we trust and believe that you will answer this prayer request. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.